Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Say Wednesday, everybody.
Good morning.
May 14th. Nope, we have no sound, no signal, no nothing. Are we here? Tech guys, come on. What's happening? We're hosting. We're live. We're on the air. And our little intro didn't work. So, you
it's
know what?
It's time for a new one anyway.
Yeah, it is. It's time for a new one. We can just make it up as we go along here. We'll just open the files here and check back to what we had years and years ago when we started this. Open the Weed Say Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid.
We'll have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
Give a call. Call us at 646-915-8421 or email us at thctucson@gmail.com. Blog your questions to us on Facebook.
Yep. You can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And we've got some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sponsors today. We've got Culture Magazine, AZMarijuana.com.
Accurate Medicine.
Growers Health.
Growers Health.
Blog Talk Radio. For
Studio C.
Yeah, Studio C always. And Tumbleweed Health Center. Woo! So today is a fly by the seat of your pants.
You got it.
Canna News Hour. We're just going to...
Is that what we're going to call
yeah,
it? Are you going to hashtag that?
Well, it's always been the case.
Fly by the seat of your pants. Hashtag. Fly by the seat of your pants.
What does that even mean? I don't get a hashtag. What does hashtag mean?
So, when you hashtag...
Explain hashtag.
So, hashtagging...
Yeah, that's the...
Because it's got one on...
symbol. Go ahead.
Hashtagging.
It's actually the pound sign, sorry.
Yeah,
pound.
Pound sign. Pound.
Pound.
Whatever word you want to get out there into the world. At large, on
so
the
like when
web highway, internet, it's picked up immediately. So you say something about Weed Say Wednesday, Tumbleweed Health Center, and you talk about it on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, any one of those social media things.
Yes.
And then you hashtag any of those words that you want to stand out or be searched for. So when people are searching Google or searching any one of those social media programs, they will pull up, like, say you put in weed or culture or something that
hash
or hash. That's something that just tells about
marijuana.
What you're talking about. Marijuana.
Cannabis.
So anything that anytime someone searches marijuana, your information will come up. Anything about tumbleweed, Weed Say Wednesday, will all be part of that circulation and that search.
It's so intense.
It is.
Oh,
but it's once you put it out there, you're actually really putting it out there.
You know, in Harry and Sally, you know, you can't take it back. Once it's out there, it's out there.
It's
oh
true.
My gosh.
Just like this. I just thought Wednesday
Where was
live.
Sunday? It's all suspicious. Where was Sunday? They don't make Sunday because of God. Okay. Anyway, you got to watch Harry and Sally. My friends from high school are laughing right now. They got it. All right.
When
Harry met Sally. Which you didn't watch. Oh, my goodness. Well, so I was just checking out some news online, and I was telling the Cannabis Kid here that a couple found marijuana in their McDonald's burgers.
Can you believe that?
I know. Oh. Check it out. Police are investigating a report of two people finding what may have been marijuana in their McDonald's cheeseburger in Iowa last month. An engaged couple told police they found the substance between the patties in their two double cheeseburgers they bought at a McDonald's in Ottumwa, Iowa. Yeah, it's cool. Road trip. The two bought the cheeseburgers at the restaurant's drive-thru around 8:15. I wonder what their magic word was. After taking at least one bite each, the two noticed the plant material, which smelled and looked like marijuana. Ah, the police lieutenant Jason Bell said. Well, they're highly trained to know what marijuana tastes and smells like.
Wow.
Oh, smelled and looked like, sorry. No one tasted it yet. The couple went back to the restaurant and told the management of the suspicious substance in their double burger, double cheeseburger. The two then contacted the police department, and the police began an investigation to try to determine if the substance was indeed marijuana. Bell couldn't say how much of the substance was on the burgers, but said it appeared to be consistent with marijuana. Police will send the substance to the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation to test if it is, in fact, marijuana. Police are also trying to determine how the substance got between the patties. No charges had been filed. Tuesday afternoon, the McDonald's restaurant remains open. And when reached out by phone Tuesday afternoon, the manager at McDonald's said the restaurant has no comment on the case and then hung up. Well, I wonder if they've got little video surveillance inside the McDonald's to find out
someone adding
who's making
there?
The burgers. Yep. That's quite a patty. That's a medicated McDonald's patty. Oh, my goodness. All right, what you got? We got that. We got McDonald's and your burgers. You can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com to find out some news if you want to check out some new news in the news. What do you got there?
We've got five reasons the police want to legalize cannabis.
All right. So why they want to legalize.
Why they want to.
I like it.
We can all agree that on at least one thing is America's war on drug is a shame in many ways, especially in how it deals with marijuana. As much as we verify cops sometimes for their actions, you have to go back to the root of the cause of all unjust actions, the laws. We are not so different. These police officers could be your neighbors, your friends, or maybe even more, your family. Moreover, they are not only stupid and unjust as some people would like you to think. One could make the argument that many of, if not most, cops probably want marijuana to be legal just as much as you do, and they would no longer have to deal with the bullshit arrests and the citations. Rolling Stone did a great piece called Five Reasons Cops Want to Legalize Marijuana. Check out the insightful read. So here we go. This is from High Times. Cops want to focus on crime that hurts real victims. In the past decade, police made more than 7 million marijuana arrests, 88% of them for possession alone. In 2010, states spent $3.6 billion enforcing the war on pot, with blacks nearly four times as likely as whites to be arrested. That's a lot of police time and resources wasted, says former Seattle Police Chief Norm Stamper, who had an aha moment about the marijuana policy while working for the San Diego Police Department in the late 1960s. I arrested a 19-year-old in his parents' home for possession of a very small quantity of marijuana. I put him in the back seat of the caged police car after having kicked down his door, recalls Stamper. While driving the prisoner to jail, he says, I realized mainly that I could have been doing real police work, but instead I'm going to be out service for several hours, impounding the weed, impounding him, and writing an arrest, impound, and narcotics reports. I was away from the people I had hired to serve in the position that I stopped for a reckless drunk driver from swerving all over the world, from all over the road, or to respond to a burglar in possession, or an intervene in a domestic violence situation. Cops have limited resources, and spending them on marijuana arrests will inevitably divert them from other policing, adds Stamper, in shots of making a marijuana arrest for a simple possession case was no longer the real police work for me. So.
Well, and that's what Jay Fleming said last week, is that they spend too much time and money and effort on resources for crime, quote,
and he
quote,
said that the DEA, or right,
you know,
they're trying to show that they're doing their job still. And
yeah,
so,
because 85% of DEA's job is marijuana, is what he said, which is ridiculous. But we got to find another job.
Well, and he said that
they put the little tags on the clothes at the Goodwill.
Not even that. He said put them in identity theft.
Yes.
Which was a great idea.
Yeah. Well, come on, people. Who's hacking into, you know, everything right now these days? And now the little SSL that was secure, that's been hacked for the last 2 years. So anyway, I was checking out your High Times
website there, because in case that article was way too long and I had to take over.
Oh, no.
They get lengthy.
No.
But look what I found.
Sometimes they're...
Oh, I know. I
was like, I looked at it.
Five differences between sativa and indica.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this is nice, and I think we should post this. We're going to post this on our blog and on our Facebook right now, so you can see this if you want to check it out as well. There's a picture of two leaves. One's a little fat and stocky, and wow, the other is skinny and thin. And so this goes on to talk about the five differences. People come into Tumbleweeds Health Center to get certified all the time and ask questions, well, what's the difference between indica and sativa? What is it that I want to use? How do I do this? So they say plants are classified according to a system dating back hundreds of years. Cannabis sativa L is the binomial name of the species name for the cannabis plant. It is from the family of plant known as Cannabaceae, which includes other plants like hops and hackberries. Cannabis can be subdivided into two main subspecies, sativa and indica. There are variations to those subspecies in the form of hybrids and one other subspecies, ruderalis, which is less common. For our purposes here, we will be looking at the differences between sativa and indica strains. Sativa strains originated in an area around the equator and can be found in countries like Colombia, Mexico, Thailand, and several African nations. The indica strains originated from a higher altitude and can be found predominantly in countries known for their hash culture, such as Morocco, Afghanistan, Nepal, and Turkey. These plants are shorter and fuller plants compared to their sativa counterparts. The top five differences between indica and sativa are this. The size. Let's see. Sativas will always grow taller than their indica sisters. Indicas are indoors. I've seen sativas get as big as 6 feet, while indicas tend to stay short, around 3 feet. That's true. I'll vouch for that. The effect and the high. As a connoisseur smoker, there's nothing like a sativa high. The sativas are like a Chateau Lafay Rothschild 65, a fine wine that tastes even better with age. I've smoked sativas that have been cured for more than 24 months,
wow.
And the high had no ceiling, meaning that with every new joint you smoked, you just got higher and higher. With the indicas, I find the effect to be quite universal across multiple different strains. It's usually a couch locked, I want to sit and play PlayStation kind of feeling. That being said, it's actually the indicas that have the strongest analgesic effect when it comes to medical cannabis, and it's usually the sativas that have a higher amount of THC compared to CBD. The flavor. Sativas have a wide range of flavors from fruity, like a fruity Thai or amnesia, to what is known as cat piss flavor, which is more of ammonia scent. Yeah, I see these kinds of things. The indicas can also be quite fruity, which you will see a lot in the Kush variety, as well as some skunk flavors found in indica hybrids. Flowering time. This is for growing. So sativas can take a long time to finish. I've seen a plant even go over 20 weeks. It was a pure Cambodian with the thinnest leaves I've ever seen. With sativas, you could always change the 12-12 period to 11 on, 13 off to speed things up in the last few weeks. Indicas have a much shorter flowering time, with the quickest indica I've ever seen flowering or finishing around 44 days. It was a Dutch strain called Top 44. However, generally, indicas are finished between 8 and 10 weeks. With added CO2, they will usually finish a week earlier. And the yield, generally speaking, the indicas tend to have a higher yield than their sativa sisters. However, there are exceptions. Back when I was with Delta 9 Labs, we had a sativa that finished in 14 weeks but had a yield that was almost double any other plant we had. On the indica side of things, the OG Kush tends to be low yielding compared to some of the other indica sisters, which can be mega yielders. Happy growing, it says. So there you go. There's, yeah, all sorts of things from, I thought they were going to talk more about the feeling, you know, the effect that they give, but that was a nice little description of everything. Size, effect, flavor, flowering time, and yield. Pretty cool. For those out there who are trying cannabis for the first time, sativas do tend to be more euphoric and creative, and they can give you a lot of energy. And
indicas are good for helping you relax, more sleep,
and
restful.
Yeah.
just to kind of come down at the end of the day. I mean, not that...
It doesn't always have to be a couch lock.
Right.
So, and by couch lock, they mean you're so heavy in weight you don't want to get off the couch.
Right.
But
like,
see, now I have so much energy, I'm hitting the indicas in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need anything else. And the sativas kind of make me cross off. Sleepy.
I like to do a nice little mix.
Yeah, what's that?
I like to do a nice little mix.
Yeah, hybrids are good. A mix of best of both worlds is what we tell people. What you got there?
Well, I was waiting for this to pop up, and it...
Never did?
Never did.
Which, oh, my goodness. That looks interesting. There's like a glow-in-the-dark x-ray there. Mm-hmm. If you check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and go to their news link right there, there's a couple news stories. There are new cannabis regulations popping up like weeds across the state, so check this out. This is a weekly state-by-state update. I just got this. Washington revealed the first cannabis retail store lottery applicant winner. 5 months after Colorado made national history by legalizing recreational cannabis use, the legislative groundwork nationally is changing fast. Notable developments in last week's state-by-state include Oregon finalized temporary year-long ban requirements in local jurisdictions to study expanded rollouts. Mesa, Arizona City Council rejected a proposal for cannabis dispensaries in its downtown area. Did you hear that, guys? No?
Mm-mm.
Mesa, Arizona City Council rejected a proposal for cannabis dispensaries in its downtown area.
Huh.
Yeah. Hmm. Vermont passed a bill to greenlight a study on legalizing and taxing recreational cannabis. Minnesota State's legislator passed a medical cannabis bill in the Senate, and the House is considering the measure. Most notable in its potential to impact one of the last issues now facing the industry as a whole is the dramatic move in Colorado last week to address financial reform for the industry. In fact, if you go online and you can look up that they just made world news with the first ever marijuana banking system that's in place now. Colorado did that.
Mm.
And you can read that just this morning. Federal law currently prohibits federally regulated financial institutions from serving this community because cannabis is still a Schedule I controlled substance. That being said, news earlier in the year that the Federal Justice and Treasury Departments will consider stringent federal banking regulations has begun to galvanize states to deal with a notoriously cash-only business, which is a huge problem because people are knocking them off. I mean, you walk out with $100,000 cash in your hand, someone's going to follow you. In Colorado, passage of this legislation means that cannabis-related companies can begin to operate in a more transparent, regulated, and efficient manner. Yeah, you really don't want to have that much cash around. Even a couple hundred dollars extra in the drawer makes me nervous, you know? It's just, it's a temptation for people, you know?
And when
seriously,
people are out there that know that this is going on, that, you know, it makes the dispensaries and anyone who's
very vulnerable
to the
bad guys.
You know, why
there.
Wouldn't they want more?
Well, they need protection from
right.
Well, the banks or whatever institution is going to house their money because you can't walk around with that much cash. let's see. So this was you can get this on tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Let's see. The Rocky Mountain State has already brought in over $25 million in revenue since legalizing marijuana on a recreational level for anyone 21 years of age and older. This money is generated through taxes, fees, and licenses. The licensing fees accounted for over $3 million even before Colorado was actually able to sell recreational marijuana prior to January 1st. So that's a lot of money just in licensing fees, $3 million. I mean, that's... I'm sure this state could use that.
I think every state could use about $2 million.
Well, at least just to start with. I mean, they've got over $25 million in the first couple months of their program, in the first 6 months of their program. Not a bad little program. Beginning at the start of the new year and ending at the end of April, so their first trimester, Colorado had already brought in close to $22 million. The majority being from taxes and the remainder coming from license and application fees. The Department of Revenue believes that the summer will taper off once the initial boom of new dispensaries and cultivation centers slows down. So I'm shaking my head already going, no way, it's not going to slow down. I think it's going to increase. Because the more that people see that, you know, it's okay to go do this, more people are going to go do it.
Right.
Yeah. So there you have it. Colorado, $25 million in the first trimester there.
It's nice to see that those numbers are coming out. And now people are getting a real understanding of how this can help our country.
Well, and right here there's a news story this morning in azmarijuana.com, medical marijuana outselling recreational in Colorado. The Rocky Mountain State has already brought in over $25 million in revenue since legalizing January 1st. This money is generated through taxes and licensing fees. Beginning at the start of the new year and ending of April, Colorado has already brought in close to $22 million, the majority being from taxes and the remainder being from licensing fees. Throughout all of this, it's recreational marijuana's predecessor, medical marijuana, that is still outselling legal marijuana by a drastic margin. In March alone, medical marijuana sales reached over $34 million, while recreational sales reached just $19 million. Governor Hickenlooper is predicting a $134 million in combined revenue between medical and recreational marijuana during the 2014-2015 fiscal year.
That's awesome.
$134 million? Oh, man. Well, we know the recreational users are going to catch up once we get off the couch.
Right, and well...
I couldn't help myself.
I've got this one. French study gets it wrong on heart disease and cannabis use.
Ooh.
And this is in Cannabis
Now.
That's
where that cool x-ray glow.
Yeah, this is from Cannabis Now. It says a recent study in France was a genesis on the one of the latest over-researching conclusion about the effects of marijuana smoking. Support by French mission for the fight against drugs and the addiction and for French drug agency, ANSM. The study claimed that marijuana use may increase the risk of heart and circulatory conditions in young adults, with potential fatal consequences. The research looked at the 1979 reports made to the French
Addictive Vigilance Network.
Ooh.
Wow.
To 2010, healthcare professionals who encounter serious cases of abuse and dependence related to psychoactive drug use are required to anonymously report. The researchers found 35 reports of cardiovascular problems during this period, an increase of 1.1% to 3.6% of all cases reported. 9 of the individuals died. The average age of the patient was 34 and 85% were male. Looking a little deeper, this small number became even smaller when the factors are taken into account. For example, 9 of the individuals had pre-existing cardiovascular disease. Level 24 of those 24, another 15 were tobacco smokers, a known risk for cardiovascular disease. Another was using cocaine, and one more was using ecstasy. The levels of the 7 individuals hardly had the adequate numbers to conclude that the link exists between cannabis and cardiovascular events. Other factors not adequately considered by the use of these data were obesity and family history of cardiovascular disease. Because these studies have shown that there may be links to cardiovascular events, individuals who have pre-existing heart and circulatory problems, patients who have these conditions would be wise to talk to their doctors before they use cannabis. Well, that just makes total sense.
Anybody should talk to a doctor about any of the medications they're using.
My doctor just signed mine and sent it right on. She said, good for you.
Swing. Yeah, but sadly, some doctors are saying,
I know.
You can't do that.
It makes me sad about the people in New Mexico or the patients in New Mexico who have to get their doctor's approval then to go.
What?
Sorry, I was just reading that headline. But the patients in New Mexico who have to get the doctor's approval before they actually go to the naturopath office.
Well, you have to do that in Arizona. Everybody has to have a diagnosis.
You can have a diagnosis, but you don't have to get permission from the doctor.
Oh, from their primary? Ooh, I wonder how.
And their pain
primary.
Doctor.
Yeah.
And the pain doctor.
Pain specialist.
Pain specialist. And sometimes doctors.
Yeah. I'd
like
to go to Spain. Pain specialist.
Pain specialist.
Do we have a pain specialist? I am Spain.
Well,
Maybe I should be the residential pain specialist.
What was in that last?
Yeah, what was that? Superman? Who's got me? Who's got you?
I don't know.
Come on. Movie quotes, guys.
Anita all right, Anita is holding me back.
Here's a good question. If we told you anything happens here, you'd probably be at least 18 to listen to the show. Will deer eat my outdoor marijuana plants? Here's a question for you outdoor growers. Deer are curious creatures, but timid just the same. They are vegetarians, grazing on grasses, fruit, shrubs, flowers, and tree leaves. Deer prefer forested habitats and the protection they provide. If your grow area is away from property dense with trees, you probably have nothing to worry about. If they do make their way to your garden, you most likely will not catch them in the act. They venture from the cover of the forest at night when they are less likely to encounter humans. Once the deer discover your cannabis garden, they will feast on the leaves, buds, and seedlings.
Mm-hmm.
There are deer in Tucson. Be careful. They're beautiful, and they will eat your marijuana. an important point to note is the cannabis leaves and marijuana increase as the plants mature, so most herbivores find the taste of cannabis unpleasant. Not so with deer until the plant becomes mature. At that point, it is not as delectable to their palates, and the threat diminishes. Let's see. Anyway, so yes, deer are a major threat. Major, major, major threat.
Watch out.
Yeah, watch out for deer. You know what you should
deer.
Watch out for also?
What?
The song.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop, this fucking awesome.
Walked into my house, like, what up, I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's pizza time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is
what you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco Pharmaceutical prisons, I take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to hold a club. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm going to smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
The Great Outdoors.
The Great Outdoors.
I love that song. If you really do listen to it, it's very politically one of the best.
It is.
It is. We were just discussing over our little can of break. The Colorado Symphony was all set and ready to do a, you know, huge concert series for the cannabis users, and now it seems that for legal reasons they have to do an invitation only party, kind of a, you know, after hours kind of thing where I don't know. I want one of those invitations. How are we going to get that? How
well,
do we get one of those?
You probably, is it for patients only? Is that what, who is there going to be, who's getting these invitations?
We don't know. That's the thing. Let's see. We'll have to find that story online here. But you've got something about.
Interesting, I do.
Mr. Dr. Robert Melamed is going to be on our show soon.
Yes. It says, meet Dr. Melamed. What we're seeing, and this is, he's one of the scientists and doctors that are working to get cannabis out there, to talk to people about cannabinoids and how good it is for you, raw, however you use it, is what he's trying to say.
Excellent.
So he says, what we're seeing is a global revolution that's going to end the insane prohibition against cannabis in this country. Who in their right mind would outlaw an anti-aging drug that kills cancer cells and uses the same activity that's found in mother's milk?
Well, the Jamaicans use it before, during, and after.
Correct.
And it's the first thing they give to their babies when they're born.
The first thing they give to their babies.
They give their little babies some cannabis milk. Yep.
So smart.
Very smart. Oh, and I love this.
Right.
We were thinking about this when we were doing medication, and we had lots of pretty flowers in here, and we were thinking we should have little, you know...
Cannabis boutonnieres?
Yeah, boutonnieres. Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
You know, wrist corsage.
So, marijuana weddings are reality.
I love it.
Says, weddings can be a chore, but they might just be getting better, thanks to some states legalizing recreational marijuana. Some ceremonies are adding a cannabis bar to their traditional open bar. And why stop there? Think vaping stations at cocktail hours and pot leaf bouquets for the bridal party. We all know the effects of marijuana are less damaging than those of alcohol. How many of us have just had a few too many drinks at a wedding reception while alcohol consumption has been... there was a lot of hand raising in this room. While alcohol consumption has been linked to violence and accidents, adding a little weed to weddings can only increase the celebratory mood and ensure that guests really, really enjoy their created meal. Catered meal, sorry.
I'm sure we need some G13 or something.
We do.
I'm malicious.
Sure, smoking laws might pose a problem, but clarify, crafty caterers have thought of that. According to the story on Subject by Yahoo News, some venues are offering THC-infused foods, which High Time readers can arrange from amazeballs to a full Thanksgiving dinner. Wedding sites like The Knot launched a poll last week asking if they felt that the inclusion of cannabis at weddings. Nearly 1,000 respondents have chimed in so far. 60% have voted, yeah, I'd love to go to a wedding, that wedding. 22% said, no, drugs do not belong at weddings.
Oh, God, no.
And, like, they haven't been
ever.
Like, cocaine hasn't ever been at a wedding.
Vicodin.
I know, yeah. Grandma's all knocked up on Oxycontin. And the remaining 11% kept things natural, like stating, I'm not for or against it. Toasts at open bars are standard at weddings. Jane West, founder of Edible Events, a party planning agency that focuses on private and glamorous cannabis events, told Yahoo News, there is usually somewhere at wedding venues to also have a cigarette. Now, it's true. Now we can also consume cannabis along as the event is private. I'm booking one shower at one wedding right now for the bridal shower. We can start the day with a group breakfast that includes a THC-infused granola bar from a local company called Julian Cates. And then the women will go for a hike and finish with a massage at the spa.
Nice!
That sounds like a great wedding.
That's an awesome.
If everyone's all relaxed and...
Heck yeah. Oh, I'm just relaxed thinking about the spa. That's awesome.
Cannabis weddings.
Cannabis weddings. no. Well, maybe. Can the
priest,
aficionator, can they be on cannabis as well?
I'm sure.
You know what? I think there should be an anointment. That there's, they should
all. What's up there, though?
Well, and we could just pass the couple could take the first hit of the joint. Well, maybe the priest should hit the joint first.
What if they did like one?
And then they pass
it
to the couple, and then they pass it all around. Everyone in the audience got to take a hit. You know?
Bong rip was done years ago.
Oh, my God.
Bring out the bong rip.
And then they just hook up.
He may now shotgun the bride.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool.
You may now shotgun the bride.
So this is what we were trying to explain about the Colorado Symphony, which I was having a hard time finding on the internet. They're trying to address Denver's concern over the classically cannabis concert series that they've created here. Denver, the Colorado Symphony says a series of marijuana-themed fundraising concerts will be invitation only in an attempt to address concerns that audiences were going to break the law by smoking weed in public. In a statement Tuesday, the symphony also said it was removing information about the three events scheduled to start later this month from the website and refunding tickets purchased already. The classically cannabis, the High Note series, at Denver's Space Gallery will now be open to a list of VIP guests by invitation. That's really fair. I bet these VIPs have a lot. After the symphony announced the concerts in April, the Denver City Attorney warned the organization in a letter that they could violate law against public marijuana consumption. We provide you with this letter to dissuade you from hosting the event. However, if you go forward, we will exercise any and all options available to the City of Denver to halt the event and hold the business owners, event organizers responsible for any violations of law. We are also ready to hold individual attendees responsible for any violations of city ordinances or state laws prohibiting public consumption of marijuana, states the letter signed by Stacey Loops, Director of the Denver Department of Excise and Licenses. Ooh, quite a job. Colorado became the first state in the nation to legalize marijuana for recreational use after state voters passed the ballot measure Amendment 64 in 2012. Under the law, people 21 and older can use the drug in private, possess up to 1 ounce of pot, and grow 6 marijuana plants. Nice. Wow, but what happens when your 6 plants yield more than an ounce? Oh, you better smoke a lot in one day. cook it. The city's letter, however, reminds Colorado Symphony CEO co-chair Jerome H. Kern that Amendment 64's immunity from prosecution under state and local laws granted for adult possession and consumption does not extend to smoking openly and publicly or in a manner that endangers others. The Symphony said its new rule, in the wake of the warning, were worked out after a consultation with the city attorney. And they say, the city's legal warnings have marijuana advocates fuming. Don't they have anything better to do? Ask Rob Corey, an attorney who represents the marijuana industry. He said the city is going out of its way to put a kibosh on the cannabis-centered event. You still have to buy a ticket. It is still a private event, and every adult that comes into the event consents to the purpose of that event, Corey said. There you go. And they're straight from the attorney's mouth. Well, still, the internet said, believe none of what you read, you have to want to see. Mom said.
Do your own research.
That's right.
You always say that.
That's right.
So this one was from High Times. It says, medical experts, smoking weed is better than THC pills.
Smoking weed is better than the THC pills.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
All right, let's hear it. It
says, pills have become the standard in regards to how the majority of medicine is administrated. But in the case of medical marijuana, most researchers find it has to be the least effective method. When lawmakers battle it out on the subject of marijuana for medical use, patients across Canada and the United States are already being prescribed the psychoactive compound of drug THC in pills like Marinol and Sesamine, which are commonly used to treat symptoms of nausea and vomiting in cancer patients. However, researchers say consuming marijuana in the pill form is not nearly as effective for managing pain as smoking it. In fact, as a study conducted last year by the New York State Psychiatric Institute found that Marinol acts considerably slower, taking an average of an hour to an hour and a half to reach its peak. Meanwhile, the full effects of marijuana, smoking a joint, were experienced within 15 minutes. The study found that while smoking marijuana allowed patients almost immediate pain relief, the effect of Marinol lasted longer and got patients just as stoned as the smokers, yet researchers were quick to point out that smoking marijuana has its obvious advantages, specifically that the ability for patients to self-adjust their dosage by smoking more as needed for pain management, a concept that is not easy to do when using pills. Medical experts agree that self-adjusting dosages with THC pills can be dangerous and problematic, and they say that what rolling joints every few hours may be somewhat an inconvenience for some patients, smoking is still the easiest and fastest way to reap the benefits of the reefer.
Well, and it's not actually, it's not that hard to do. You can buy down at Tumbleweed Health Center little joint rollers, and they're very easy to use. And you just grind up your herbs, stick it in there, roll it up a little bit, stick a paper in, roll it up with it, and you're good to go. They're like $3.50. Easy.
And
easy,
I am
easy.
Not a joint roller.
No. I want to learn how to, though. I think that's pretty cool if you're an old-fashioned
kid. You know, I have been seeing a lot.
Like knowing how to dance.
Well, a lot of dispensaries are carrying the little cones.
For my 25th high
school. And they're really easy to use. The cones, you can just fill them up.
I'm not cheating. No, cheater.
I'm just saying.
Cones are for cheating.
I'm just saying. Some people might really like those cones.
They might. You can buy your cones. We did have the cones here at once. Yeah.
Bring them back. Bring them back.
Or maybe. I know we had a sample.
They
I did,
have
you
a
just,
little mouth in front.
They have a filter at the bottom. They're already pre-made, and they're... just in the shape of a little pill.
You just grind your cannabis up and
drop
it
in.
There.
Yep. Damper
shake
down.
It down
in there.
Shake
damper
it down.
There.
Well, don't
buy a little damper that you can get at Summerweek Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103 in the back. Come get certified, folks. Show your state you support this program. And you're in pain and you don't want to necessarily go through the steps of getting certified Come and Tumbleweed for high CBD tinctures, candies, capsules, if you choose. We have lotions and salves that are awesome. Anybody that has arthritis, any muscle pain, joint pain, swollen knuckles, we've seen people in here that can't even make a fist, put a little salve on, a couple hours later they're moving their hands, making fists, and pain-free. It's really remarkable. The lotion goes on real nice. It's there's ease, and if you want a little thicker, get the salve. But the candies are great, 5 milligrams each. They have sugar-free and full of sugar. If you want that fun sugar taste, some people like it. And the tinctures, mint, cinnamon, tropical punch, and natural flavor. And they're all really good. 100 milligrams, 500 milligrams. And now Xander Walton's mom reached out to Vital V, the company, and asked them to make a 2,000 milligram tincture, I believe. Or one of the kids' moms did, so that they don't have to do as much of a tincture. Yeah, so they don't have to do it so much.
And raising it just perfect. The amount, that amount is, it sounds, what, it's, how much more is that?
You mean in price or milligrams?
No, milligrams.
No. So there are 100 milligram bottles, there's a 250, a 500, and now they're making them in a 1,000, a 1,500, and a 2,000 milligram bottle. So you just, one drop is so much more concentrated now.
Right.
You just need so much less. And it's one drop, not a whole drop or full. It's
right.
Non-psychoactive, less than 0.1% THC, organic hemp from Canada. Until our own country starts growing. Did you see they put the government put the kibosh on Kentucky's order of hemp seeds?
Huh.
Did you see that?
No, I did. I heard that Kentucky was getting ready for the hemp seeds, and then
they were.
Okay, so then this happened.
Yeah, it happened. I don't know if I even have that up anymore.
They are just so scared.
They are. I don't know why, because there's a whole other industry where you could create a billion jobs and better environment for the earth.
Exactly.
Less ozone problems, less global warming, less all those
paper can come from this. Plastics.
Clothes.
You know that
your jeans,
big, huge...
Your socks, your undies.
What
all
is
of it?
Million mile...
Exactly.
A million acre plastic barge that's floating in the ocean.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah.
That
don't even. Well, Uruguay, legalized... and the whole country of Uruguay legalized marijuana, and their laws were revealed, and it looks like they're very happy.
Okay.
After a long wait, Uruguay has finally released the much-anticipated regulations to accompany its system that will legally monitor the production, sale, and use of marijuana for adults in the country, thus making it the first country in the world to do so. Go Uruguay. They're expected to have the market up and running before the end of this year. The system will be implemented as follows. Uruguayan residents, which I'm sure there are now hundreds of thousands more, over the age of 18 will be permitted to choose between three different forms of access to recreational marijuana. The first being growing up to 6 plants per household on their own. The second would be the option to join a membership club where anywhere between 15 and 45 members can join into a collective and grow up to 99 plants. And the last would be the option to purchase up to 10 grams of marijuana from a licensed pharmacy. All residents who choose to partake in legal marijuana will have to register with the government through a confidential registry and declare which of the three options they would like to choose. The largest difference between the ways this regulatory system has been established versus, say, that of Colorado or Washington is in the price. In Colorado, a gram of high-grade marijuana would be sold from anywhere between $12 to $25 per gram. In Uruguay, marijuana will be priced at $1 per gram in hopes that it will put a strain hold on the black market drug trade. I wonder what kind they're growing. It's got to be just as good as anywhere else, $1 a gram. That's awesome. Yeah. That's right. Your eyes bugged out for a reason. $1 a gram.
When was that article written?
15% THC. Okay. That's good. Or less.
When was that one written?
The only argument I have with that the 15% or less, that's on azmarijuana.com, okay, which just came out, is that THC is much more than a psychoactive. It's good for pain relief. It's good for focus. It can help decrease anxiety. It can help stimulate appetite. It's antifungal. It's so much more than just the psychoactive part of the drug. So I think people need to relook at that as part of the guidelines.
Yeah, that there's
and
the
how
other.
How do you grow a
cannabis
plant for one and just be like, okay, don't grow any more than 15% THC or I have to cut you down? It has to have a minimum? Oh. Whoa, we like that better. Ah, see, he raced the board and I didn't see my shark symbol. A minimum. Well, there, they, oh, no, we're going another way. We're moving. That's it. Pack your bags. I'm sure there's so many
what
more.
What a fun country. You know what, like.
That's a great start to a program. You can grow, you can become a collective, or you can go buy it for $1 a gram.
Well, you're teaching people.
We hope they are. 18 and over. They chose 18-year-olds can get their marijuana. Wow. 10 grams a week. That's not bad, though. That's, you know what? That's
way more than
quarter.
I need.
That's over a quarter. Yeah. Not, that's way more than people need, you know? You go through a gram or two a day. That's fine. Done. Perfect. Wow. Awesome. That was amazing.
It is, though.
Marijuana.
It was really good.
Oh, I like this article you have up there. Yeah.
So you were talking about it earlier. We were talking about it earlier,
yeah.
And I remember.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I remember we were actually at Patients at a Time where this woman actually spoke. She was actually there speaking all the research that she did while she was in Jamaica.
Can we do that over?
It was really, really awesome.
We're going to post this on our Facebook right now, too.
Okay.
This is
great. This one is actually on our Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah. So
it is
says,
right now? All right. Wow.
Cannabis okay for pregnant women?
Is it okay? So there's a question.
Right.
Is it okay? That's what we want to know.
Pregnant Jamaican women seek relief from nausea and stress, often turn to cannabis in the form of tea or tonic to alleviate their symptoms. Nearly 40 years ago, Dr. Melina Dreyer was chosen by her professors to go to Jamaica and study the effects of cannabis use on pregnant women and their infants. Dreyer lived among the rural people of Jamaica and discovered that the use of cannabis in daily life is routine. She conducted several community-based studies examining the health and development of Jamaican women and children and released several reports showing that children born to mothers who use cannabis are better adjusted than children born to mothers who do not use the plant. Dreyer studied that 24 Jamaican infants exposed to cannabis in the womb and 20 infants that were not exposed, she discovered that the culture polices its own cannabis intake and considers that the herb a sacrament. Studies results showed no negative impact on the children born to mothers using cannabis. On the contrary, they seemed to excel.
To excel.
Sorry.
Yeah, they were a lot. They came out a lot smarter than the ones that didn't use it. So all along, the mothers used it before, during, and after, and what they noticed that the kids up to age 5, which is when Melanie Dreyer studied them, they excelled in almost every area of life.
Mm-hmm.
So marijuana. Keep reading. Go ahead.
So it says often, North American studies on cannabis used by pregnant women claim to show that it can result in birth defects and development problems. However, those studies do not isolate cannabis use from harmful substances such as alcohol and tobacco, or even meth and heroin. Dreyer's principal funder, the National Institute on Drug Abuse, was not pleased with the results of her fieldwork and discontinued funding her research. Dreyer said, in the interview, it was clear that the NIDA was not interested in continuing to fund a study that didn't proceed negative results. I was told not to resubmit. We missed an opportunity to follow the study through the adolescence and through adulthood. Now that Dean of College of Nursing at Rush University, Dreyer's field work evolved into her book, Women and Cannabis, Medicine, Science, and Psychology. Sociology, sorry.
There you have it. That is a wow. We get a lot of people that they're nervous and they want to know, you know, is it okay to do that? And I'm so bummed that she was at that conference and I didn't know. I wish I knew all the people that were there when we were there, because now we know all these people. And they were at the Patients at a Time conference, and we didn't even know that. Yes, so we've got just a few minutes left of the show. For anybody that wants to get certified in the great state of Arizona, please come down to Tumbleweed Health Center. We are the lowest price. I won't say cheapest because there's nothing cheap about this, but
no way.
Lowest price certifications in town. $85 for your first time, $65 for renewal. Of course, the state fee is always $150 unless you're on food stamps, and you can prove that with your name, with, you know, have to be embedded on the card or your award letter. And then it becomes $75. And optional $35 processing fee, and you're on your way. It takes 5 to 10 days to get your card. And you can, we've got vaporizers down here, pipes and bongs. We've got Holy Smokes products. We've got organic vaping tonics. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Candace? Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Smokes, which is the organic vaping tonic down here at Tumbleweed, 100% terpenoid. What they have are different herbs and spices and florals and mints and citruses, all different blends, creating a kind of a little bit of an effect in the body, like a tea, a mild tea would. It helps you relax. It helps you get through the day. If you're a vapor already, you just can come down and get any one of the blended botanicals in their motifs. There's different vapor effects. Play sexing, stimulating, de-stress, and sleeping. Yeah. So you can kind of pick how you want it to go, and now you can use it with your concentrates. So your waxes, your gas. You can mix cannabis oil that you have with one of the 15 tonics that we have in a separate dish, and then just squeeze it back into your vaporizer. You can add it to your dabs with any one of the globes, concentrate globes out there. Just add a couple drops and reflavor it back up with terpenoids again. So come down to Tumbleweed, 5315 East Broadway, and pick up your Holy Smokes.
Yeah, they're really awesome. The minute you see them, you'll want to try them because they're really, it's
they
pretty little packaging, and it's all organic,
delicious.
All natural. They do. They taste delicious. You can even get some that tastes like those clove cigarettes I like.
Yep, and that is Fastmaster.
Fastmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have that.
Clove, nutmeg, delicious flavors in there.
So this is May. We are like at the end, halfway through, I'm not going to say, we're halfway through May. And do we have any, well, I know the High Time Cannabis stuff is in Sonoma, California this year at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, June 28th and 29th, I believe. So if you're over in the Napa area, all my buddies, so the High Times Cannabis Cup, I'm still thinking about renting a car and just driving over there for the weekend. It'd be very fun to do. I think maybe we should do a road trip. Cannabis Cup road trip. Yep, sounds like it. So in the next, in the coming weeks, we have Dr. Robert Melamy and the girls from All Bud are going to come on. Great organization.
Kristen and Allison from All Bud will be on,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be talking about their new website that's going to be fully approaching your soon-to-be worldwide web soon.
They'll be launching.
They'll be launching their site.
They'll be launching soon.
And theirs is just the knowledge about different strains and what they're good for, and being able to type in your kind of ailment and finding a strain that would be good for.
Oh,
a little more education, I think, really being in depth of strains and terpenoids and really what makes this plant tick.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I have a lot of questions.
Well, I would like to say thank you for joining us on this wonderful Wednesday, May 14th.
Yeah.
Come on. 3315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103, and check out tumbleweedpunk.com. Come get pain-free. You've got arthritis, glaucoma, neuropathy going on, anything like that, some cancer,
chronic pain. I just want to feel better.
Come down here. Even if you don't want to get certified, you've got some high tinctures, vital B tinctures, and lotions and salves that are very helpful for you. We would like to thank everybody here at Studio 2 for joining us this morning. Thanks, kids, and everybody out in the blog world. I don't even know if we got to blogging very much here, but it did happen. We would like to thank Blog Talk Radio, Culture Magazine, AZMarijuana.com, Growers House, Amnesia. I have amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
Anita, tech guy, for always being here. Come on down, get certified. Most importantly, remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.